Welcome everybody to the Take the Kingdom Bible School. We're going to study God's Word to help you fulfill God's plan for your life. Today's lesson is lesson number 8 in our Foundations course titled Resurrection and Eternal Judgment. And all these classes from this course, we've been taking them from Hebrews 6 verse 1 and 2. Our theme for today's class is that we should be motivated by our rewards in heaven. This is the idea I had of heaven when I was growing up. I think I got it from the cartoons I used to watch. Heaven was just a bunch of clouds, you know, God sitting on his throne and just a bunch of clouds, a lot of light. Everybody got their government-issued robe, their government-issued harp, and you sat on your government-issued little piece of cloud. That's where you got to sit right there. And then you would just play songs and sing all day. And that's what I thought heaven was, kind of like celestial communism. And a lot of people have that idea. You know, everybody's going to get the same heaven. We're all going to the same place. It's going to look the same for everybody. And yes, heaven, you know, is heaven, and nobody's going to have a personal heaven. But everybody's experience in heaven is going to be different. Why? Because of the way that we live here on earth. And that's why we're talking about that we should be motivated by our reward in heaven. Because the way we live now determines what heaven is going to be like for us. Everybody's going to have a different type of experience there. I could say a different level of experience. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to show you from the scriptures why what heaven looks like for us should motivate us to serve God and live a holy life so that we can have a better heaven. A better heaven. That sounds crazy. A lot of you might be wanting to turn off your videos now, but don't. I promise it's in the Word of God. So absolutely, there is no equality in heaven. You know, here on earth, we're big on equality, especially with little kids. You know, they go to the soccer game. Everybody plays. Everybody wins. Even if one team won, they all get a trophy. You know, that sort of thing. If I give a lollipop to Johnny, I better get a lollipop to the whole class because we have to be fair. And God is fair. I'm not saying God's not fair. But at the same time, he honors those who honor him. And he rewards those who serve him. So he's going to be fair in the sense that he's going to give everybody exactly according to what they did on earth. God is a capitalist in a way. Everybody is going to get according to what they do. And that should really motivate us. Listen to what it says here in Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You see here, when Jesus comes, the first thing he's going to do is reward everybody by what they've done. And that reward is going to determine your eternity. Because you see, eternity is eternal for everybody. Whether you end up in hell or you go to heaven, either way, it's eternal. The only thing you can decide is, you know, if you're in hell, you get to decide what temperature the fire is going to be at, per se. Jesus talked about that. He said that certain cities, because of the blessings they'd had and all the privileges they had in seeing Jesus come there and do miracles in their city, those cities would have a worse judgment, a worse hell than other cities, which maybe did worse thing, but they didn't know as much. So it's all going to be determined by you. You can't determine how long it's going to be for you. It's eternal for everybody who goes to hell. But how hot it is, you can decide that. It even says in the Word of God that some people, when they go to hell, they go to darkness. It's just dark. Other people burn in fire. It's going to be completely fair according to what you've done and what you knew. That's what hell is going to be like. And heaven is exactly the same way. Look what it says in Luke 6:23. When you are persecuted for Jesus, look what he says. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So he's saying your reward is going to be great in heaven because they persecuted the prophets just like they're persecuting you. And so you're going to get that same level of reward when you're persecuted. That's amazing. So people who are persecuted for Christ here on earth, their heaven, their reward in heaven, which is going to be an eternal reward, is going to be different than the reward of those who never were persecuted or went through very little persecution. It says in Luke 6:35, once again, saying about rewards in heaven, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." You see here, it's talking about, once again, when you give and you don't expect something in return, you have a special reward in heaven. So pretty much everything you do for God in this earth is going to be rewarded. And it's going to be an eternal reward in heaven. So you can kind of see how everybody's heaven is going to look a little different. Check this verse out in Hebrews 11:35. Hebrews 11 is talking about the great men of the faith and what they did for God. And it says here that in verse 35, Hebrews 11:35, it says, "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." You see, they could have been delivered, these people that were being tortured, but they'd rather, they made a commitment to God. "God, I'd rather be tortured right now so that I can receive a what? A better resurrection." See, their heaven is going to be better than the people who said, "God, deliver me," and God took them out of the torture. Maybe by dying early or getting delivered or escaping somehow. We don't know. But some people actually wanted to go through it so that they can have a better resurrection. And a lot of people might think, well, that's so crass, so earthly, so human to want a reward. It's really not. It is on this earth because we, among men, we seek reward, we seek honor of men, and that's not right. But Jesus himself said, you should seek the honor that comes from God alone. God wants you to seek the honor he wants to give you. Remember, he honors those who honor him. He wants you to seek the reward that God will give you, because that's actually a good thing. It means you believe God. Like it says in his word, when you sow seed, you should expect a reward. You should expect a return. Jesus is saying it's exactly that way when you get to heaven. I want you to be expecting a return for what you do for me. You can count on it. And once again, the return is not just a one-time thing. It's going to be an eternal quality of life in heaven. Like it says in Mark 10:31, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." Here Jesus was talking about heaven and the reward, and he was saying those who seem to have very little here on earth, who seem to be last place, humanly speaking, are going to be in first place over there. There's going to be ranks in heaven, and it's going to be an honor and a glory to God for you to achieve a higher rank. So some of you might be thinking in your head, well, isn't salvation by grace through faith? I mean, we don't get saved by what we do. And absolutely, that's right. We don't get saved by what we do. We're not contradicting that doctrine. Because the fact is, we all get in the same. By faith in Jesus Christ, and his grace saves us. There's only one way in. But once you get in by grace, what you do with that grace, remember we talked about what grace is in our teaching on faith. What you do with that grace from then on determines the quality of your eternity. And it's completely up to you. If you work for the Lord, you serve him, if you sacrifice, if you suffer, you're going to have more. We're not talking about salvation. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me," and this is Paul talking, "as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." What he's saying is the foundation of every person in Christ, every person who's in heaven, the one thing they have in common is Jesus Christ. They believed in him. They're saved by him, by his grace, through his blood. That's the only way in. That's the foundation, okay? "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." What is it saying here? It's that once everybody gets into heaven, you're saved, you're in the kingdom by Jesus. From then on, you choose what you build with. You can build a house of gold, silver, precious stones, genuine, solid things that are going to pass the test of fire. They're going to be real. Or you can build the little shack made of twigs that when it gets tested by fire, it's going to go away. And it says that the day will reveal it. That day of the Lord when Jesus comes, when he rewards each person. You might look like you're really great and doing awesome in the presence of God, but when the fire of God's judgment, God is going to test you, see what you're made of. It says every man, saved or not, is going to be tested and is going to be judged and rewarded according to their works to see what they've done. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So if you pass that judgment, that test in the presence of God, and he examines your life, and what you had was legit, it was real, it was gold, silver, and it didn't just burn up in the fire, then you're going to receive a reward according to what you did, according to what you built on the foundation after you were saved by grace. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you see, you're still going to be saved if you don't have much reward. I mean, if you didn't build anything really good quality, you can still get in. But your quality of eternity, your quality of heaven is going to be less. You're going to have suffer loss than the other guy, which served God, which sacrificed for God, which suffered for God. So we should be motivated by this reality to pursue a better reward, like the prophets and the men of the word of God did. Let's talk about what rewards will there be. And the Bible does talk about exactly what rewards will everybody get. There's five different rewards. And the first one is riches. So God is going to give us riches. I mean, some people in heaven are going to be richer than others. Look what it says in Luke 16:9 and on. Jesus says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" So what is God talking about here? What is Jesus saying? When it says mammon, it's speaking of money. Okay? What he says in that verse 9, he says, use money to make friends and win them for the kingdom of God, so that when you get to heaven, they'll receive you into everlasting habitations. The people that you save using money, physical money, which it's all going to burn, right? You got to think, all this stuff is going to rot. It's going to go away. It's physical money, and the things it can buy are nothing, except if you turn that money into souls. If you can find a way of turning money into souls, you're going to have an eternal reward. And those people that you saved are going to meet you in heaven when you get there. They're going to be like the welcoming party. They're going to receive you there. So Jesus is saying, look, you want true riches? Invest the riches you have now in the kingdom, and then you're going to keep it forever, many times multiplied. And it says he's going to trust you with true riches. So he's talking about true riches. What are these true riches? The riches of heaven, the people you save, but also actual riches. Look what it says in Luke 18:22. This is the story of the rich young ruler. Remember this guy, he was really religious, really great guy, had a lot of money. Came to Jesus and told him, "Good master, what can I do to gain eternal life?" And then Jesus heard these things. He said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And that word treasure literally means treasure, like riches. So in heaven, I mean, there's going to be people that are going to be banking. They're going to have a lot of riches and beautiful things. I don't know, beautiful decorations and furniture and just really costly things, beautiful things. And there's going to be others that don't have so much. And Jesus says, you should think about that when you sacrifice and you give up your earthly money. You should think about the rewards, the treasure you're going to get in heaven. It's not wrong. It's actually good because all the treasure you get up there gives glory to God. It gives glory to God, and he wants to bless you with that. So another reward we're going to get in heaven is real estate. Yes, it says in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So in heaven, when we go, we're going to have mansions. Everybody's going to have a house. You're not just going to have a little cloud to sit on. You're going to have a house and a real piece of land and a real part of heaven. What part of heaven? I don't know. That depends on your relationship to God. And we're going to talk about that later. What the mansion looks like, that depends on your relationship to God. How many treasures are you sending up there? Is your mansion going to be really big, really beautiful, really decorated, really amazing? Depends how much treasure do you send up there. One brother had an experience where he saw the mansion that God had prepared for him. I mean, it was beautiful. It was covered in gold and gems and jewelry, and it was in the style that he liked. It's like God knows what you like. And when you get up there and you see the house, it's going to be exactly everything you like, even if you haven't even thought of it. He knows deep down inside what you will like. And it's made exactly the way you like. And God showed it to him. And he noticed this one beautiful brick in the wall was made of solid, it was like a sapphire. And he asked God, "Why is that brick so beautiful?" And God said, "You remember that one time?" Here's the story. This couple, they were missionaries and they supported missionaries. That's their main job. They used to be missionaries and they liked to support missionaries. And so they didn't have anything of their own. Everything they money they got, they sent it to missionaries they knew in Romania and different parts like that. They lived in a very simple house and they loved it. They had barely any furniture, nothing, no pretty rugs on the ground, nothing. They just had a very simple life because they gave everything away to support missionaries and save souls. And one day their daughter, kind of sad for them that they didn't have anything, she gave them $500 so that they could buy a rug. The same day that they got $500, they got a call from a missionary that needed, guess how much? $500. So they said, "Are we going to give up this? Are we going to send the help or are we going to get this rug?" And they said, "Well, even if our daughter gets mad, we're going to send the money to the Romanian missionary." And they sent the money, and Jesus was telling him, that's what that brick in the wall is. That rug that you gave up is this special part of the wall here. All these things go up to heaven, and they decide what your house is going to look like, what your eternity, the quality of your eternity is going to be like. Another thing we're going to have in heaven, another reward, is that we're going to have responsibilities. And people think, well, when I get to heaven, there shouldn't be any responsibilities. I'm just going to have a hammock, and I'm just going to sway in the breeze, just enjoy heaven, play golf. But actually, a great reward will be to those who've been faithful to God with what he's given them. He's going to reward them with responsibilities. This doesn't really fit in with the whole idea of a bunch of clouds and everybody sitting there, because what responsibilities could there be? But in heaven, there's a lot of things going on. Heaven is a kingdom. Remember, there's things going on constantly. There's events. There's people to see, places to go. There's worship services. There's all sorts of stuff in heaven. And people are going to have responsibilities. People that like to sing and worship God, and they're called to do that here, they're going to do that in heaven. They're going to lead worship in heaven. They're going to practice choir songs. They're going to do all this stuff. And you might be thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. But in heaven, there's not going to be all the rebellious choir members talking during the practice. Everybody's going to be perfect. Everybody's going to be holy. There's not going to be any carnality or anything. It's going to be awesome to be able to present concerts to God that you prepared with other people. It's going to be beautiful. So there's a lot of responsibilities. Look what it says in Matthew 25:21 and on. And this is talking about the master that left and left a certain talents with certain of his servants. You know, he gave this guy 5 talents, this guy 10 talents. When he comes back, the guy who had 5 talents had invested it and worked with it and made 5 more. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And he says, "I will give you rule over 10 cities in another one of the parables. I will give you rule over 5 cities. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. So he just didn't do anything with it. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So we're going to have responsibilities in heaven. Praise God. So do y'all want responsibilities? Yes. Yes. Because Jesus said this. He tells the servant, I'm going to put you over 10 cities. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then he tells the other guy, you were faithful with 2. I'm going to put you over, 4 or 5 cities. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So the joy of the Lord is tied into the responsibility. You're going to have a greater joy in heaven because you're going to have a greater responsibility. And that responsibility is going to tie you with the Lord. It's going to draw you in closer to him, and you're going to have more joy than other people who don't have the responsibilities. You're going to get closer relationship with him. Praise God. Another reward we're going to get is reputation and recognition. Reputation and recognition in heaven. Look at this. In Revelation 21:14, Jesus had 12 disciples. They were just fishermen, guys of no reputation. People make fun of them, didn't think they were much of anything in this earth. But when they get to heaven, these guys have a huge reputation to the point. Look what it says, Revelation 21:14. And the wall of the city, which is the New Jerusalem, had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. It's like if you went to heaven and there's huge billboards with the name of the apostles. Recognition, honor to those who gave honor to God. Those who gave glory to God. God is going to honor them. What an awesome thing. In Daniel 12:2-3, speaking of the end times, the angel tells Daniel, And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise, okay, so he just said, in the resurrection, some are going to go to hell, some are going to go to heaven, some are going to go to the reward, and some of those are going to go to their punishment. But then he says in verse 3, and they that be wise, so this is a special category, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So what he's saying is among those that are saved, those who are wise, who remember the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, those who feared God and obeyed him and listened to him, those people are going to have a special reward. They're going to shine like the brightness of when the sun is out. They're going to have more brightness. And those who win many souls to Christ, they're also going to have a greater brightness like the stars. So in heaven, some people are going to be really bright because they are reflecting the glory of God. And some people are going to be not as bright. We're all there. Praise God, we're there. Some people are going to get the privilege of having more of the glory of God reflected. Thereby, they're going to experience more of the glory of God throughout all eternity. Because they were wise and because they won many souls to Christ. That is awesome. Another reward we're going to have in heaven is relationships. Remember, we talked about earlier that when you use money to win souls, they greet you in heaven. They welcome you. So you're going to have special relationships throughout all of eternity with these people who you saved because you invested in the kingdom. Look what it says in Mark 10:29-31. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You see here, brothers and sisters, when you invest in the kingdom and you give up relationships, God gives you more relationships. And not just more, it gives you 100-fold. So all those relationships you're now making on earth through the kingdom of God, people you've saved, people whose lives you've touched, people whose lives you've impacted, all those lives and all those relationships are going to follow you in heaven. And that's going to make your heaven richer. I mean, there's not going to be anybody moping around, oh, nobody loves me, I'm going to go eat some worms. No. Everybody's going to be happy and praising God that they're there. But some people are going to have a greater reward. What a blessing. What a privilege. Another reward that we're going to get for being faithful to God and depending on our relationship to God here is nearness to God. Now, I want you to just follow me on this one, okay? There's a verse in Hebrews 12:14, and we know it a lot because we quote it a lot in our church at least. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It says here that no man shall see the Lord without holiness. And people have interpreted this in two different ways, basically, because it causes a lot of problems. Because in one sense, it's saying that without holiness, your personal practical living it out, a holy life, you won't see God. So people have this idea, well, everybody who goes to heaven sees the Father. Everybody who goes to heaven sees God. So if everybody who goes to heaven sees God, and that's the presupposition, if that's true and everybody who goes to heaven sees the Father, then this verse doesn't make sense. Because it says, without holiness, you won't see the Lord. So people have interpreted it in two different ways. They say that without practical holiness, you can't go to heaven, right? Because the presupposition is if you go to heaven, you'll see God. So if I'm not going to see God because I'm not holy, then I'm not going to get to heaven because I'm not living a holy life. The other interpretation, people say, well, no, that kind of violates the whole idea of saved by grace, not by your works. So they came up with this other interpretation of the verse. That what it means here is that by holiness, it's talking about the righteousness of God that's imputed to you, which all Christians have. So that way, everybody is going to see God. So you see, they're trying to defend the presupposition that everybody who goes to heaven sees God, but that's not in the Bible. What's in the Bible is this verse, which says, follow holiness, seek it, look for it. Here in Hebrews 12:14, it says, follow peace with all men. That means pursue it, chase it, and holiness. Chase after it, look for it, strive to live a holy life every day. So that wouldn't make sense if all Christians have this holiness, which is the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ, which we do have. If that's what it's talking about in this verse, it wouldn't make sense for Paul to say, chase it, follow it, look for it, because we all have it. So it's not talking about that. He's talking about this. If you let the grace of God flow in your life in such a way that it produces holiness, practical day-to-day, real life holiness, then you get to see God. You get to see God. And that works for here in this life. If you want to see God in your life, you need to have holiness, but also in heaven. This once again came from a brother who had an experience in heaven. God showed him that in heaven, there will be people that will never see the Father. They'll see Jesus, because it says that every eye will behold him. I mean, even the unconverted wicked men of the earth are going to see Jesus when he comes. But to see the Father, you have to have holiness, practical holiness. And I don't know how that fits in your theological box, but I thought about it, I studied it, and it makes sense to me. And it's just something to think about. So one of our rewards will be nearness to God. If we get near to God here and we have a relationship and let him flow in our life and fill our life and get close to him here, you'll be close forever to him there. That is awesome. This reward should motivate us to serve God in his kingdom. Jesus said, I'm coming soon and my reward is with me. And all those that believe in him enter into his kingdom, and you're going to be rewarded in a kingdom manner. The king is going to reward you with a position, a place, a house, relationships, all these things, and riches, according to how you served him here on earth. I heard this quote by this missionary, Jim Elliot, who actually died in the Amazon. He was killed by the people he was trying to preach to. He said this quote, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Everything on this earth is passing away. Everything you do for the Lord is going to follow you 100-fold with interest into eternity. Praise the Lord.